thanks for joining us for another episode of Forever 39 with Annette. What's up, Annette?
Hey, guys.
And Megan. That's me. We want you to chat with us, so hit us up on Twitter at NJ1015, hashtag Forever39. You can like us on Facebook via NJ1015's page. And of course, you can email us anytime at forever39@nj1015.com. And to get our podcast, please subscribe via the NJ101.5 app, iTunes, or Google Play. Coming up in this episode, we will converse about celeb girl crushes, our amazing doggy stories.
But
we could just do the whole show on that. But up first, we're going to chat about sexting with special guest Dan Tantillo with the Dennis and Judy Show. And he even has his own podcast called The New Jersey Guys. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you so much for having me. This
is thank
very
you, Dan. We love when you join us.
Fun. Oh, cool. Great.
Yes.
I'm happy to be doing this one.
So we're talking about sexting. Yep. So to start off, I'm going to give the definition of it.
Sure.
And that's sending or receiving of sexually explicit or sexually suggestive images, messages, or video via cell phone or the internet.
I send them to Dan every day.
So yeah, I know. He said.
I'm overwhelmed.
It is. That's what we do here at 115.
So it's nude or nearly nude photos or selfies, videos that show nudity, sex acts, or simulated sex, and text messages that propose sex or refer to sex acts. So that gives you a general description of what it is. Annette, you had some facts you wanted to share.
Yeah, so I always was sort of under the impression that a lot of people who were engaged in sexting are teenagers, okay. But that is so not the case at all. So here we go with my research, because sure. I always love to do my little research. A study released in 2015 by a team of researchers at Drexel University found that most adults are sexting. So they surveyed 870 people ranging in age from 18 to 82 years old.
Oh, my.
And they found that 82% of them had sexted. And that's actually way more than teenagers, where studies pretty much put teenagers at about a third. Okay. So I thought that was really interesting. Now, what's interesting is that most adults are only sexting in committed relationships, with 75% admitting they sexted while in a committed relationship, and only 43% saying the sexting took place in a casual relationship. Even more interesting, the people that reported sexting also reported having a higher level of sexual satisfaction in their relationship. Now, there was one statistic that I did find a little scary, and it's from the Pew Research Center, and they found that 3% of adults with cell phone owners have forwarded sexts to other people that are not their partners.
That's
a little frightening.
Me.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? The thing about sexting that I think is really kind of cool for adults is it is a tool to keep sort of the fire burning throughout the day. You know, sending little flirtatious messages kind of gets you in the mood for
sure.
sex later on.
Yes.
But it's a great way also to stay connected if your husband or your wife is traveling or your girlfriend. You know, you can kind of still be playful with each other. So I think it's a really great tool for intimacy for adults, as long as we keep it so we're not forwarding it to our buddies and, you know, other family members, like, look at what my girlfriend sent me. Like, that's not kosher.
No.
You know, so do you guys, I'm not in a relationship, so I'm not sexting anybody except myself at this point. So but now, Danny, I know you are in a relationship.
Yes,
Megan, you're married. So do you guys sext?
Go ahead, Danny.
I don't, for a couple of reasons. One, I'm just such a silly person and like a goofball in general, where it's something I would want to say, even if it was meant to be serious, I would start laughing at it and wouldn't be able to take it serious as I send it. And I know my girlfriend would be the same way. I'm just a terrible texter in general.
Okay.
It's because part of it with me is that I have a very, I guess, witty kind of sense of humor,
mm-hmm.
where it took my girlfriend within the first couple months of us dating, it took her a little bit to get over the asking me what I meant by that. Or
so
me having
you,
to clarify what I said.
Are you one of those texters where it's like, is he mad at me? Like, did
At first, that was the impression
okay.
that was there. But then once you start to know my personality a little bit, it makes it a little bit easier. But the thing with sexting is I need to, I guess, see and hear.
Okay,
I guess.
That makes
so,
sense.
Like, if I'm sitting and I'm waiting for a text message, that's not really my...
Your speed.
I'm reading it instead of just actually how I would, you know, imagine in
okay.
my head, if that
right.
makes any sense.
It totally
makes
sense.
No, that totally makes sense.
And I completely agree with that. Not that I don't. It's so funny because when I do try to, like, be flirty with my husband on text, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, we are so stupid with each other. And our humor is just so ridiculous.
Right.
And we've been together so long that when I try to, like, he doesn't get it. And he's like, is something going on at home? Like, he's trying to, like, crack my code and I'm trying to be all cute.
Yeah.
So it is, I feel like, for us, and the same way, like, even, like, on the phone, Mike is not strong. He never has been. And he's the first to admit he's not good with texting and he's not good with talking on the phone. But when we're together, it's completely different.
Completely different. That's
where it works better for us. So this sexting and how big it's become, I almost don't understand, because for my relationship, it's almost laughable because it never lands the way it's supposed to.
One of the things that I read that I thought was really interesting is in the Match, I think it was the Match.com survey, that some couples said that they enjoyed sexting when they're across the table from each other at a restaurant, because they can sort of talk dirty without anybody knowing what they're saying.
Yes.
So again, you know, it kind of setting the stage for maybe later on. So it's almost like, to me, it's almost like a form of foreplay.
Yeah.
You
that's
know,
adorable.
Where,
yeah.
I mean,
that's,
the best, kind of,
that's the best way to go about it. I feel like maybe not the dinner table thing with me per se, because I just like being with
sure.
the person. I like making eye contact, looking at
talking
people.
Dirty to them face to face.
Face to face. I don't care. I don't care.
Exactly.
But yeah, I do think that it's something that if it leads to that, then it's a little bit different than, I guess, the people that are my age that are on Tinder and are single.
Oh, yeah.
The single people going through the sexting is a whole different ballgame than with relationships.
All right. So speaking of that, so I am single, and I will tell you that one of, I think, the most challenging things for me is I'm old school in regards to like steps. Like, I got to meet you first before we're going to start sending photos. Yeah. And I'm probably never going to do that because I work in the news industry. Yeah. And right. I hear there's too many stories out there of people who like send something and then all of a sudden it's posted somewhere that you don't want it. So I probably would never send any sort of, you know, photos of myself, because I just think that's dangerous. But there was this one guy who I was set up with. And, you know, we were just sort of chatting back and forth through text and whatnot. We hadn't even gotten to the phone call phase yet. And like day two, he's like, oh, I really would love to, you know, have you send me a photo of your ass. And I'm like, that is not happening. And I just was like, so
turned
like,
off.
This totally turned off, because he was like so forward. And I was like, that's not my speed, buddy. Like, I'm looking for a relationship. I'm not looking for that. You know,
right.
like, and I just, that was it for me. I was done. And, you know, that kind of stuff, it's like, but I think the internet and Tinder and all these dating sites has made that sort of a lot more acceptable. And so people kind of go from 0 to 100 really quick, you know, via text, because they feel like they can hide behind
There's
it.
There's no shame. I yes. don't have the
Good
balls
point.
To do
yes.
that, even if I wanted to. If somebody said, oh, you know, just be silly and say something to, no, I'm not going to say, what? That seems ridiculous. You don't know me. I don't know you.
Right.
But what do you guys think is the norm? Like, do you think, I think the three of us sound like we're pretty much on the same page. Are we the norm, but it's just sexier and more fun to talk about the people who are sexting and sending each other new photos?
I don't know that
photos?
We're the norm based on these stats.
But that's my, are, the,
I think
are
we're
people
more
honest?
Abnormal.
Is it? I don't know. Because if you talk to people or ask people, like just if you take a quick poll of your friends, most of my friends aren't doing this.
Oh, I think I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
Most of your friends are.
Most of my friends
but you know what? Your friend,
it's
different
just a,
generation
it's just,
too.
There's a, with my group of friends, it's just the difference between the relationship and the single person. The relationship person, they're not going to talk to anybody else about it. It's between them.
Right.
Whereas the single person who is going on and messaging everybody on Tinder and stuff, he's going to go back to his boys and be like, hey, this is, you know, I did this, this, and this, and it didn't work out yet. That's, it's a totally different ballgame between single people my age. I'm 26, by the way, to clarify, and people who are in relationships.
I think that's the thing that really troubles me, is that stat about 3% of people are showing other people the sext, whether it be yeah. a video, a photo. And I think that's the thing about sending people things or putting people, you know, putting things on video that can get really dangerous really quickly.
Yeah, especially when you're single
right.
and
yeah, because you can't trust some men and women.
Some people
are just
has to
jerks.
Be, trust has to be 100%. If I'm going to send that picture, I have to trust you 100%.
Right.
Video.
Absolutely.
I don't understand how people can even think to send something without even talking to a person on the phone for the first time, like the person that you said that asked you. How could you remotely think to do that?
I know.
Right.
It blows my mind away.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask this, though. Okay, so you guys don't sex, but what about, like, all right, so you are in a committed relationship, and let's say you did send a photo or this or that, but then let's say you guys break up. Like, that's where things can get a little dicey, too, because sometimes people get, you know, they lose their minds during breakups and they do things that they wouldn't normally otherwise do. But they're like in the heat of the moment. Right. They start, you know, spreading photos and videos all over the place. Like, that's the other thing that kind of gives me pause about it, because I'm one of those, like, can you really ever truly trust somebody sometimes?
It can, like,
with that type of stuff.
It will never go away. So you have to think to yourself, this, although I'm just sending it to Joe Schmo, will never go away. If things end with him or her, it's out there for anyone to see. Am I comfortable with that? You have to think of it that way.
For the most time, the person isn't deleting it.
Right.
Like, as much as he may say he is, he's not. No. And I think the majority of people who may have it saved, they have it saved, but they necessarily aren't showing everybody.
Right.
But don't think that if you send it, that picture is gone, because it's not.
That's what I worry about with teenagers. I think, you know, we're adults. We kind of like know the implications of what could happen with the materials that we send somebody. But teenagers are teenagers. We were stupid when we were teens.
I was
you
doing
know?
The same exact thing when I was, you know, 16.
And I really worry about that. I know, Megan, you said that you had some sort of information when it came to teens.
Yeah, just that some of the things I read, like their big thing for teens was always, what would grandma think? Like, if she found this out, which is kind of, you know, a killjoy for any sexting that you would do. But they said many girls, teenage girls, sext as a joke. Like, they'll do it with their friends as a joke. And they say most teen guys do it because of pressure from other guys, or, hey, look at me, look what I did, look how clever I am. But some, you know, it can be seen as cool or whatever. But that's the time period where I would trust no one. I would know that that picture was being seen by all his friends and all of that stuff. I don't think it's safe. But I actually have tips on if you didn't grow up in this generation and you're interested in starting this with your partner, some of the things you should do. So, of course, if you don't want to get caught, don't do it, which I think we all agree is rule one. Make sure the other party is into it. That goes to your thing, Annette, where the guy just reached out to you about it. There are different emojis used in sexting. Different, like an apple represents the bottom.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
That's so silly to me.
Oh, and then the ones you could like string together to be funny.
Oh, man.
And like then
sexting with emojis. Oh,
the thing I found the most interesting in the whole thing was it said, don't abbreviate. So if you're going to sext someone, don't use abbreviations. Spell out the full word and then spell check it, because they said nothing is a turnoff more than incorrect spelled sexting.
Oh, that's funny.
I thought that was hysterical.
Well, we'll put a poll over at nj115.com and you can let us know if you've sexted with your partner and has it improved your relationship overall. So thanks, Danny, so much for joining us.
For
we really
me.
Appreciate
Anytime.
It.
Anytime.
All right, Megan, so before we get to our next topic about the celebrity crushes we have on women, I wanted to give the poll results of the stealthing topic that we did last week. So here's what our audience said. So 57% of you said they had never heard of stealthing before, but they do think it's sexual assault. 20% of you said, yes, they have heard of stealthing before, and they also think it's sexual assault. About 4% said that they've heard of stealthing before, but they don't think it's sexual assault. And about 19% of you said they had never heard of it before, and they also don't think it's sexual assault. So, you know, those are pretty mixed, but I would say that for the most part, people think it should be considered sexual assault.
Okay.
So those are the poll results. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, celebrity girl crushes, because we talk a lot about celebrities on this podcast. And, you know, as women, you know, I think we always have like some other women that we admire or sort of have a crush on.
Sure.
And I know I certainly do. And so I thought, okay, let's talk about like our top Hollywood girl crushes. So I have a couple for various reasons.
Okay.
So Halle Berry, I've always just wanted to look like her. I just think she's absolutely stunning. She has like what I would sort of consider to be like the ideal figure for a woman. And that's like the body I would want.
Yeah.
So she's like the what I would want to look like kind of girl crush. Meryl Streep is like my ultimate like just crush in general, in the sense that I just think everything she does is absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
And I would love to be able to have the ability to perform the way that she does and act the way that she does and do accents the way that she does. And you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be an actress, like most little girls, you know, actress, dancer, you know, musician, whatever. So Meryl Streep to me is just like an acting genius. And so I've always had a little bit of a crush on her.
So cute.
When Candace Bergen played Murphy Brown,
love.
I had a massive crush on her because I just thought she was just so cool. Like this woman who was like, take charge and knew what she wanted. And then lastly, Sarah Jessica Parker, because everything she, like, you know how some people have that style?
Yes.
And this is just not as her as Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City. In real life, like, I just love what Sarah Jessica Parker wears and puts together.
Yes.
And I always wish I could be like her in regards to being able to mix and match certain styles. Like, she always looks great. Everything always works. Some of it might be a little bit sort of outrageous and out there, but I think it works on her.
You know what's interesting? She's one of those people where I think she, you know, a lot of times when someone wears something, it's wearing them. That never happens to her. Even if it's outrageous, she's owning whatever she's wearing. She's,
yeah.
There's just something about her in fashion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, okay, who are your Hollywood girl crushes?
Okay. Well, Jennifer Aniston, number one. I wanted to be Rachel Green. And I still want to be Rachel Green from Friends. I love Gigi Hadid, the new supermodels. Yeah. I just think she seems so sweet. She's so beautiful and kind of seems surprised she got where she did. I just like that about her. And she's sticking by her boyfriend who, Zayn Malik, he's kind of going through some issues right now and she just seems really supportive of him. So I think she's like a girl's girl. I like her. In the 90s, I was obsessed with Julia Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was obsessed with Julia Roberts.
I used to do my hair like her and I love, love, love her. I also love Kristen Bell.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
She seems to have a really cool marriage to Dax Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems really fun and just doesn't take herself too seriously. She's beautiful, but doesn't forget that she's a mom. She's just really cool. And I really love, it's ridiculous, whenever I'm at the gym on the weekends, they're always doing reruns of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh.
And if you watch the show, they don't seem like jerks. Like, I don't really care for the younger two, but the sisters actually seem like nice people. But I love Khloe. I think if she walked in here right now, we'd be friends with her. I do. I think we would.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I don't know.
Did you ever watch an episode?
Okay. All right. I'm sure I've watched clips.
Have I ever sat through
an entire episode? No, I can't recall.
It's mindless when you're doing cardio at the gym.
I think the problem is there's just too much noise for me with them. Like, there's too much other information that I feel like I've read about them that I just can't deal with. Now, I will say they are brilliant women. I mean, you know, they have been able to take that 15 minutes of fame and my God, have they stretched it. But I just kind of feel like they're like do nothing celebrities.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with
that. What the heck is their talent?
No, there isn't one. But I like her as a person. Khloe seems really cool. But I did a quick little list of people I can't stand, women in Hollywood that should go. You ready?
I'll read
it off really quick. Christy Teigen, married to John Legend, gotta go. She's in love with herself for no reason. She's not even cute. Jessica Biel, oh, she's such a bore. I can't believe Justin Timberlake married her. Charlize Theron.
No, I think the two of them are so cute together.
She is a bore and a horrible actress.
Oh, God.
Charlize Theron, too, in love with herself. And I heard at Spin, she is a complete B. Angelina Jolie, for obvious reasons, since I'm team Jennifer Aniston. Scarlett Johansson, because she just seems like a horrible actress to me as well, and in love with herself. January Jones, because she's a man stealer. And Katy Perry, because I just cannot stand her either. There's my list.
I don't really have a list of the most hated. I guess I don't like the Kardashians. And we all know that I really am not a huge fan of Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
But I wouldn't say I hate her. I just find her annoying. So
yeah.
Well, if you have a celebrity girl crush, or I guess if there's a celebrity that you absolutely hate, let us know by emailing us at forever39@nj115.com.
So speaking of things we love, Annette and I are huge dog people. We
love
dogs. Massive
dog people.
Both
and
of
I
us.
Know there's some of our listeners that are crazy dog people too, that absolutely
are, right?
Love doggies.
If you have a heart beating inside your chest,
yes,
then you're
I would
a dog
hope so.
Person. So we have two dogs, my husband and myself. We actually had another dog. He passed away last summer. He was quite sick, and that was devastating to us. But we currently have two dogs, a 13-year-old pug who we've had since he was born. His name is Bruiser, and we have Chewy, who we got over Christmas from a rescue, and we think he's about three. He's a peek-a-poo. So Chewy, the new guy, seems like he is... almost has separation anxiety a bit, although it seems to be going away because my husband works from home, so that helps. That was one of the reasons the foster gave us the dog, because she knew my husband would be around. But whenever you come in the house, I was trying to get a clip of it for you guys so we could play it. I'll try still and to send it to you, Annette. But when you walk in the door, it doesn't matter who you are. He wants love.
Aww.
And all he does, he wants to be picked up like a child and held. And the whole time you're walking in the house, he's going, and he'll follow you wherever you're going until you pick him up, going, Meanwhile, his brother, Bruiser, all he wants to do.
I want
to
eat. Let's move.
You know him well. You've met him.
Yep. Where's my treat?
Yeah, he loves you. Oh, God. Bruiser loves Annette. But that's all. He'll just bark you towards the pantry, and he'll want to eat. Where Chewy genuinely wants love, name Chewbacca, because he looks like a little Chewbacca. But Bruiser, all he wants is food. But you have to have dog stories, probably way more than I do.
I mean, I have a couple that are my favorite. So yes. I have owned six dogs throughout my lifetime. I currently do not have a dog of my own, but my roommate has a dog. Her name is Esther, and she's a bloodhound. You know, I miss having a dog, and one of these days I'll definitely get one. It's just things are really busy right now for me, and I do volunteer at my local animal shelter. So I do get my dog fix pretty much every single weekend. And then, of course, I do have Esther at home. But I do have one of my favorite stories involves Dakota. Dakota was a yellow lab, and Dakota loved to eat, and he was pretty conniving and smart when he wanted to be, which was pretty much all the time. So one of the things that he used to like to do was he was really into like paper products. So like, God forbid you left like a paper towel anywhere, like on your lap, even he would like snatch it away and run around and like chew it and the whole
goodness.
Thing. So one day I came home from work, and I have a little bit of an obsession with gummy bears. I really love gummy bears. And I was having gummy bears, and Dakota was like, oh, come on, you know, I want one too. And I was like, no, I'm not giving you any of these gummy bears. It's not happening. So I like folded them up and put them in my purse, which was right next to me on the sofa. And I had a paper towel on my lap when I was eating the gummy bears. And Dakota comes, he grabs the paper towel, and he hauls ass into the dining room, and he's like, I'm gonna run around the table now and you're gonna catch me. So sure enough, I fall for it. So I get up, leave the purse on the sofa, and I go to chase him. Do you know that dog, the minute I got up and approached him, he drops the paper towel, runs to my purse, gets the gummy bears, and goes in the opposite direction. I was like, you're brilliant. I mean,
you're brilliant.
I couldn't even be upset about it.
No, you have to acknowledge the
exactly.
clever. Yeah.
They run the house. I swear to God. They run the house. And then the other story that I always remember is my dog Penny. She was before Dakota. I had like just a really awful, awful experience in high school with somebody who I really, really liked, and we were supposed to go to a dance together, and he just totally disappointed me. It was like an awful weekend, and it was one of those things where it was terrible.
Aww.
So I was really bummed out about it and really upset about it, and I was crying like the whole weekend. And she just like knew she would not leave my side.
Aww.
And she just stayed with me the entire time. And we went on walks together. And it was just like so nice to kind of like, I felt very comforted by her, you know, because it's like she knew, you know, that, okay, my person doesn't feel good.
Her and heart's broken.
And Dakota was the same way when my mom was sick with cancer, and she was, you know, my mom was on hospice at home. I kid you not, like Dakota, the only time he would get up from her bedside would be to eat, because he loved food.
Of course.
Like most labs.
Yes.
So it would be to eat and to go outside. And other than that, that was it. Like he would just always be with her.
They're amazing.
And, you know, it's just they have such a sense about them. And I always have felt like dogs. You can learn so much from dogs.
Yeah,
they about just how to love. Live life to the fullest and be happy about just sort of taking a walk in the park or right. smelling
live
the
in
roses.
The moment.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And let go of the crap that happened before.
They have a beautiful spirit.
They do. I have a really cute story to kind of end on. My sister lives on the same street as me. She has two dogs, and our dog Chewy is a male, and her dog Koa is a female. Okay, they're both fixed. Nothing's happening. But whenever we have a fenced yard, so my sister will bring her dogs down pretty regularly just to let them out, to let them run. And Koa and Chewy have developed a love affair.
Aww.
So whenever they come to our back door. And Chewy's like, until you get there, of course, his little panty cry thing. He's like, he's like, there's my girlfriend. Let me out. I haven't seen her in a day. It's so cute. And they just like chase each other around the yard. It's like a little love affair.
Oh my gosh.
It's the cutest thing.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, the little gang on our street.
Aww.
So cute.
Oh. Well, if you guys have a funny story to share about your four-legged friend, you can send us an email at forever39@nj115.com. I know I'd love to share some of these stories, so please, please, please email us if there's anything you want
to
tell us.
I would love to hear great dog stories.
I mean, I have so many, too. Like, I could go on and on and on forever, yeah, but, like, I think those are the ones that just kind of stick out,
yeah.
you know, in my mind. So, all right. I think that wraps it up, right?
It does wrap it up. It wraps up this episode of Forever 39. On next week's show, we're going to talk about sex and the number that you know that number. If age different matters in relationships and your favorite barbecue foods.
Yummy.
I'm starving.
I know.
Let's go get something to eat.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.